Not a single shovel full of dirt has moved yet on the Jordan Cove gas project. That's the plan for a liquefied natural gas export terminal on Coos Bay and a 200-mile-plus gas pipeline leading to it. But there's been plenty said about the Jordan Cove project in recent weeks. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, just wrapped up a series of four public meetings to take input on the project. DEQ got a lot of input at the final meeting last night at North Medford High School. Today's guests were there and generally represent opposition viewpoints. Hannah Soll is with Rogue Climate. She's in the studio with me. Hannah, welcome.
Thank you.
Forrest English is here as well. He's with Rogue Riverkeeper. Forrest, welcome back to you.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
So there are so many layers of approvals and permits. So a DEQ hearing, this particular set of DEQ hearings, there are four of them. What were they about?
So this is what's called a 401 Clean Water Act certification. But essentially what that means is the Clean Water Act is designed to protect things that Americans use their water for, fishing, drinking water, swimming in. And this is the state's ability to review a federal project for if that permit would cause problems for Oregon's water quality.
So does the permit relate, does the permit process relate only to the pipeline itself?
It relates to the pipeline construction and the terminal construction. So it would be everything relating to the physical effects of the construction of the pipeline through those 400 streams and waterways and the substantial dredging in Coos Bay itself. Oregon DEQ calls it the largest dredging project in their history.
Do the two groups that you represent come at this from somewhat different angles? I mean, as Rogue Riverkeeper, I'm sure one of your major concerns is the fact that we're talking about a pipeline crossing the Rogue River and other streams as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, for me, this comes from a water quality issue. I mean, I'm concerned about salmon habitat and clean water, you know, whether that's immediate impacts or the long-term effects of climate change on our waters.
And so, Hannah, so Rogue Climate opposes the project as well, I mean, officially, I assume. So on a different basis or what?
Yeah, so also the reasons that Forrest mentioned, but our primary concern is with the climate change impacts and the impact that this will have on our ability to transition to clean energy. So the actual terminal that would be built has to be powered by a brand new power plant, which would quickly become the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in all of Oregon. And also, we feel like this would just take our state a huge step backwards from transitioning to clean energy, which in the end has the potential to create many more jobs and be much better for our local economies.
I'm sure the argument can be made that, you know, okay, well, they'll build this gas facility and then, you know, gas will peter out after a while or mm-hmm. they'll stop using fossil fuels as much and then it won't really be needed. But in the meantime, we kind of need it. I mean, do you hear that argument yourself?
Sometimes, yes. But I think that This isn't just a quick project that would be over. If it did get put in, this would be a long-term project that would have long-term impacts on our waterways, on our energy use, and on our local economies.
When you talked about the power plant that would be needed to operate the Jordan Cove terminal, and particularly, I'm sure the process of liquefying the methane gas into a liquid. It sounds like a fairly energy-intensive sort of thing. I mean, are they burning gas to make the power to do the gas compression?
Yes. And just to put this in context, so our largest source of greenhouse gas emissions right now is the Boardman coal plant, which is closing in just a few years. And this project is pretty much two-thirds as energy intensive as the Boardman coal plant was. So it would be about 2.1 million units of carbon pollution per year. So it's a very energy intensive project.
It's a 420 megawatt power plant, strictly dedicated towards the liquefaction process.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're ending up expending a lot of energy just to be able to convert to liquid and export energy.
Right. A huge amount.
So now we're talking again about what happened last night at North Medford High School was a DEQ hearing for a water quality permit. Does the could, for example, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approve the terminal and DEQ deny the water quality permit? Could you have hits and misses for the project in terms of getting some permits approved and others not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing here is that all of those permits and certifications and approvals and are all needed for the project to move forward. So even if FERC, after analyzing the environmental impact statement and the public's comments, comes back and says, you know, we find no significant impacts that can't be mitigated here, DEQ could still have a very different take on this and say, you know, we see very clear impacts to our water quality, and the state's water quality criteria says that we should reject this project and we will deny this certification.
We're talking about the proposed Jordan Cove gas export terminal proposed for Coos Bay with Forrest English of Rogue Riverkeeper and Hannah Soule of Rogue Climate. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. What is the route as regards the Rogue River? Where would the pipeline path cross the Rogue River?
So the pipeline, like you mentioned, goes about 230 miles, would go from Malin to Coos Bay. It would cross the Klamath, the Rogue, the Umpqua, the Coos, and the Coquille watersheds.
So slanting basically from the Klamath Basin off to the northwest.
Yep, that's right. And so it would be proposed to cross the Rogue around Shady Cove, along with a number of other tributaries like Little Butte Creek and Big Butte Creek and Trail Creek and their tributaries in those watersheds.
And have they laid out the specific technique for getting the pipeline under the river? Are we talking about horizontal drilling? Are we talking about digging a trench going across the river with heavy equipment?
So for most of the tributaries in all watersheds, they're talking about digging an open trench. So it would just be trying to temporarily divert the water and dig a big trench to the river or creek and drop a pipe in it and scoop the dirt back on top. And that's work that I used to do, and I can guarantee that that gets muddy and there will be pollution.
Truth to tell, I used to do work in heavy construction.
I did. And for the Rogue, they're talking about doing a horizontal directional drill. So their proposal is to go 75 feet underneath the river. Some of the challenges with that is that we're talking about a drill bore 3 feet in diameter. It's a very big bit, and some of those concerns, not just from us, but from the state agencies, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is extremely concerned about the location and the chance for what are called frackouts in that drilling process. And frackouts is where the drill bit fractures the rock, you know, in the bedrock, and there's an uncontrolled release of kind of the drilling muds that are used, and it would go up into the riverbed itself.
Because you have to send lubricants down ahead of
right.
the head.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that specific spot is one of the last spring Chinook spawning beds up there, and you know, would be a pretty serious threat to that run.
I've described this as just a DEQ meeting, but actually the Army Corps of Engineers was involved with this too as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So DEQ is actually reviewing an Army Corps of Engineers permit. So the Army Corps is proposing to issue a permit for what's called the fill and removal of you know, wetlands and waterways. And DEQ is exercising the state's right to review that permit for if the actions contained in the Army Corps permit would, you know, threaten our water quality.
We can have a call for you. Let's go to Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Jordan Cove export gas terminal and the pipeline to it with Forrest English of Rogue Riverkeeper and Hannah Soule from Rogue Climate. Hi, Grumpy
Thanks
John.
Thanks very much. I'd like to make 2 points. The illumination that is going to be needed at the terminal itself is going to take huge amounts of electricity, and those people are never going to see the night sky again. In addition to this, once the pipeline is put on, it has to be monitored by helicopters and constantly surveilled. They are going to be dumping megatons of herbicides, and we're facing the same problem as we get with the Forest Service. Nobody is going to tell you what poisons they're spraying on us. It's going to be toxic to the people along the route, and it's going to get in and devastate the wildlife as that herbicide goes into those 400 streams and the Rogue River. This is a disgusting proposal, and they shouldn't be stealing private land for the profit of a private company.
All right. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. Appreciate that. Much has been said about the pipeline route and some of the impacts of it, certainly. And I know that it's a 50-foot right-of-way or 90-foot right-of-way?
It would be a 95-foot cleared area and then a 50-foot perpetual right-of-way that would be maintained clear for as long as the pipeline is there.
So no trees there because they could potentially send roots and interrupt or get into the pipeline or at least damage it in some ways. Any discussion along the lines of what Grumpy John is talking about here with the spraying of herbicides along that route?
I think that's fairly likely. I mean, it really depends on the kind of maintenance they're talking about. You know, there are a lot of details about this project that have not been entirely fleshed out yet. And you know, just on my desk, there's 8,000 pages of documents related to this project right now. So that specific one I haven't quite gotten to yet, I'll be honest.
8,000 pages of documents.
Yeah.
As part of the submission for permits, as part of the review process for the permits, all of the above?
That's just the submission process for permits.
Wow. That's a lot of paperwork. And there's going to be a lot more before all is said and done. At this point, if Jordan Cove were to happen, I mean, assuming that everything just went ding, 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 and they got all the permits in a row, which is by no means assured, how soon could anything happen?
Well, honestly, the process with the agencies, this is the second time they've tried to construct this facility. In the first iteration, it was supposed to be an import project, and eventually...
With the pipeline running essentially in the other direction, so we'd be taking the gas in from overseas.
Right. Obviously, the economics didn't make any sense for that, and we said that for years. So they finally were forced to pull that application and resubmit as an export project. But, you know, in the best case scenario for the company, I imagine this could take 3-4 years. And, you know, then maybe they could get to construction. So market conditions have a significant chance of changing dramatically. I mean, right now the United States is exporting the technology to do fracking faster than we're exporting the gas that is fracked here. It's certainly likely that other countries will come online and begin exporting gas or using it locally before our gas would get there.
So if there's a glut of gas in foreign countries and they decide they don't need to import liquefied natural gas from America, then the economics of this collapse is what you're saying.
Yep.
Correct.
There was not just the meeting last night. I understand there was a rally as well at the North Medford High School before. Let me tell us about that, Hannah.
Yeah, it was great. It's been really exciting to see how many people have started to come out from all over the Rogue Valley to show their concern about this project. So before the meeting actually happened, probably close to 80 people, maybe 90 people came out, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes before to stand on the road. And there's lots of honks from people going by, a lot of public support. So it's been great to see just the wide diversity of people who are concerned about this project for very different reasons, from the water quality issues to the landowner issues to the pollution issues. There's almost something for everybody in opposition to this project.
We're talking about the Jordan Cove project, the liquefied natural gas export terminal planned for Coos Bay and the 230-mile pipeline running to it from the Klamath Basin to the Coos Bay area. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Hannah Soule from Rogue Climate and Forrest English from Rogue Riverkeeper. You can check us out on Facebook as well and see their picture in the studio. Call us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. The meeting itself was in the high school commons at North Medford High School, essentially the cafeteria for the students. How big a room and how big a crowd?
So that's a great question, because it was a packed crowd once again. There's over, you know, over 320 people actually came out to this 3-hour-long meeting to sit and just, you know, listen to questions. And I would say maybe only 8 people there were in support of the project. So it was a huge turnout to oppose this project. And, you know, and when the FERC hearing happened, we also had over 300 people come. And so there's a lot of people around the Rogue Valley, and that number is growing every day, who are opposed to this project.
Was the support for the project generally in terms of providing jobs?
Yes. Yes.
I know that divided a few candidates during the last election, that some people said, well, you know, environmentally, I'm not crazy about it, but I do see the value in providing some jobs.
Right. And I mean, I don't think anybody can argue that Coos Bay needs jobs and Coos Bay needs economic development. That is so true. But we need to be thinking about different ways to provide economic development that isn't putting at risk our waterways and that isn't contributing more to climate change and that isn't taking private property for the benefit of a private out-of-state, out-of-country corporation.
Anybody keep count on how many people got to speak at the meeting in Medford last night? And did everybody get 3 minutes, 5 minutes? What?
This time, everybody only got one question.
Really?
Yeah. So there were, I don't know.
Let's just say they didn't make it through the list of people that wanted to speak.
Okay. So 300 people plus speaking. All right. We have an email here from Boyd in Wolf Creek. He wants to know how the environmental impact statement, or will it describe how the terminal would endure or not, a 9 earthquake and tsunami?
It's certainly supposed to detail that. There's some very strong disagreement on whether the environmental impact statement actually does that properly. You know, there are certainly geologists that say that this is not the place to build a terminal like that, and that we're overdue for tsunamis and earthquakes in that region, which would place North Bend at significant risk. Those tanks hold a lot of gas if they were built.
Let us take a call. We have Roy in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Forrest English and Hannah Soule.
Yes. What I was going to ask about was just mentioned, and that's the possibility of tsunamis and earthquakes. And as far as the need for employment, wouldn't it be much more sensible to employ people in infrastructure and various other things along the coast to prepare it for the likelihood of earthquakes and tsunamis, rather than putting in a pipeline that's certainly going to rupture with that event?
All right. Thanks for that, Roy. Appreciate it. It seems to me there'd be some seismic standards on the pipeline itself.
There are certainly some. You know, most of this pipeline goes through a fairly rural part of Oregon, and that, the company is telling us, would mean reduced safety standards, so thinner pipe, less frequent inspections, less inspections on the welds, that kind of thing. And the company that built the is planning on building this pipeline had 4 pretty significant accidents on their gas infrastructure just last year in the United States alone, from evacuating towns in rural Washington on the Columbia River to West Virginia with, you know, fireballs going a couple hundred feet in the air.
I don't know if it was actually mentioned at the meeting, but there was an oil spill this week from a pipeline into the Yellowstone River. So that was another case being made against a pipeline, certainly. Must concern the two of you.
Yeah, and I think what that really demonstrated, and many people brought this up at the meeting last night, was that while it might be unlikely, those things do happen, and pipelines do break. And, you know, just imagine what would happen here if we did have an accident like that and there was a fireball on a hot August day when, you know, we already have high fire risk. What would that do to our local communities, to Butte Falls, to Shady Cove? That was just one more demonstration that we really need to be careful in making decisions about these large, dangerous projects.
So the meeting last night at North Medford High School was the fourth of 4 involving the water quality permit for DEQ and Army Corps of Engineers. Did you attend? Did you get reports from the other 3? I'm just curious to know if there were different mixes of people at them.
Yeah, I spoke to a number of people that attended some of the meetings in Roseburg, Coos Bay, and Klamath Falls. It sounds like they all brought up a number of different issues. It seems like DEQ was saying that each of the meetings kind of had their own flavor of what issues they were really focused on.
Was it the usual proximity thing, where the people who live closer to the point at which most of the work will be done, where most of the jobs will be taken, generally more in favor? And as you move further away, you get people who are less in favor?
Well, I think it's challenging for job supporters to come to these meetings and say, you know, DEQ needs to protect clean water for my job. I think the gist here is that if the project goes through, this is very narrowly about water quality. But curiously enough, they said that folks in Klamath Falls were particularly concerned about ballast water issues and invasive species. I think that there could be a certain tie there to the Klamath and, the fish that are in it.
You get ultimately to the real broad perspective of the idea of jobs versus the environment. And I think what you were saying, Hannah, earlier about trying to get into newer technologies is that you can be nice to the environment and create jobs as well. But, I mean, how far along is any of that technology? And are there any environmental impacts themselves? I mean, you know, dead birds and things like that with wind power, for example, it gets brought up all the time.
Right. Well, in Oregon, we already have over 5,000 clean energy jobs. That are, you know, family wage, good paying jobs. A recent report that came out about the potential for clean energy in Oregon shows that for every the difference in job creation for the same amount of money is about 1 to 17 when you look at solar as compared to natural gas development. So yes, you know, the technology is there and the job creation is very real when we're talking about renewables like solar and wind. And I think, you know, with any type of energy development, there are always are some, you know, some risks, but I think that this dichotomy that we put ourselves in, where it's jobs or the environment, it's just not true anymore.
that you can have both.
You can have both. Yeah, you can have responsible development that is creating family wage jobs and that is also creating energy and is also, you know, good for consumers in the long term, where long term energy prices will actually go down as opposed to still being very actually going up in the case of the natural gas development.
Is it hard to make a case right now for renewables at a time when the fossil fuels are so cheap? I mean, when people are driving around and actually paying less than $2 a gallon in parts of Oregon for gasoline, you hear them buying more SUVs and things like that.
Right.
Not so concerned about getting rid of the old technologies and moving to the new ones, which certainly makes the new ones puts them at a disadvantage.
Right. Well, that's a great question. But I think what this this recent dip in fossil fuel prices shows is that the price of fossil fuels is very volatile and it's very unpredictable. And it's, you know, $2 today, maybe it's $4 in a couple of weeks. And with renewable energy, the price is consistently going down. And, you know, once you pay off solar, and from then on out, the energy is free. And so it seems like people are still investing in renewable energy, in part because of that volatility of fossil fuels.
Forrest English, what happens now with the DEQ process now that there have been these four meetings? Does DEQ have a timeline in place for when it might be coming out with its determination whether or not to issue a water quality permit for Jordan Cove?
Yeah. Well, the DEQ is accepting public comments through March 13th, and there's more information on how to comment on that process on our website at rogueriverkeeper.org/LNG. And I think that the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has a really critical role to fill right now. You know, their job is to protect the water quality for all of Oregonians. And I think that right now they have an opportunity to take a hard look at this proposal and to make the right decision and say no.
All right. We have some links on our own website to the DEQ page indicating how you can make comments as well. So that's available at jeffexchange.org. Forrest English is with Rogue Riverkeeper. Hannah Soule is with Rogue Climate.
Thanks,
and
Jeffrey.
We've been talking about the Jordan Cove project. Thanks to both of you for joining us here at the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.